Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Everybody, welcome to another week's episode of Just Saying with Justin Martindale. I am Justin Martindale, and I am joined today with a woman with minimalistic makeup, our very own first drag queen on the show. You are first, Jackie Beat.
Oh, I thought you were going to say first drag queen
to roam
the earth.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sorry. I just accidentally glanced over at the big screen TV down here, and there's a news story pulled up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it is...
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely... We definitely are going to get into some news. And I, you know, this is kicking off Halloween week. And I was like, who can I get that's just... spooky and like who can transition into Halloween season and
wait a minute transition
yeah
I'm just a drag queen
okay
no but also I mean if I knew this was like spooky season you know ushering in Halloween I would have come in without makeup on.
That's the true
that's
horror.
The scary. Yes. This is the true horror. That's the true horror.
Now I am so excited because not only is Jackie a phenomenal queen and person, she's a writer, a comedian,
a performer. I'm not that great of a person.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not that great of a person.
I attract dead. Like, that's, I like people who are dead inside and hollow. That's,
Jackie Beat, dead behind the eyes.
That's the new special.
Yeah, that should be my Halloween special.
That is, I think so. And you've worked on the movie Flawless with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
You just have like a, you have a very, very, prestige resume.
Oh, thank you. I think it's prestigious.
We have, do I say prestige?
You said prestige.
I don't know words.
That's all right.
We worked on a show that's coming out this Saturday on Hulu.
Yes.
Called Huluween Drag Extravaganza.
Where'd you get that t-shirt?
They passed it out at the wrap when we like wrapped the show. Did you not get one?
I didn't get one. They're probably like, we don't have bunny.
No.
We don't have Jackie and bunny sizes.
No. No, I think, honestly, you guys were like up the last day. Y'all were up at like 6 a.m. or something.
Oh, yeah.
And y'all were just like, we're done. Thanks. Good night.
Oh,
bye.
Yeah. We left skid marks.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the show because I think it's going to be so much fun. The audience, I don't think the audience has seen anything like this before.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
you
not
know.
A competition.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, when the gentleman from Hulu approached us, Taylor, that was his point.
Yeah. How did
like,
you get the job?
Well, first of all, he was like, you know, the only thing on TV is drag queens competing against each other, or, you know, traveling middle America and stopping off in these little towns to help people, you know.
Build their self-esteem.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And not to throw those two shows under the bus.
Which shows?
Drag Race and We're Here.
Oh.
But he was like, I want to see drag queens singing and dancing and being goofy and acting like a fool. And so, boy, did we succeed
we did.
On that last part.
I mean, my God, it's so funny because I had the Hulu guy, George. George was the one that approached me, and he was like, yeah, it's Halloween and drag queens. And that was the pitch. I said, yeah, done.
Yeah.
That's my mantra. I'm ready for it. Let's go. And then we met up on that hotel. Or was it a hotel? No.
No.
It was their office building downtown.
We've never met up at a hotel. I don't know what
kind
of...
You were sitting by the piano with a martini.
I don't know what kind of rumors you're trying to start. No, they approached me about being in it. I signed on. Well, my agent said, do you want to do this? And I said, sure. And I signed on. And then like a week later, somebody completely separate was like, oh, we want you to write on this project. And I said, well, I just signed to be talent.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's fine. Do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did that. And it was so easy, but yet, like, what do you want, guys? Like, it
well, that's the problem. And I, you know, in interviews, I've been saying I felt like the, I kind of felt like the drag liaison mm-hmm. or the creative consultant, mm-hmm. you know, because they really didn't know. They were like, is this too bitchy? And I'm like, okay, listen to me. For the last time, it can never be too bitchy. That's not possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but just, you know, they just didn't, they're not in the world.
Right.
So they had to have their gay comedian and their drag.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. No, honey, you're gay.
Oh, the whole time.
Oh, you mean comedian. Okay.
It was, but I mean, that's we.
Wait, can I say one thing before I forget it?
Yes.
Driving here, uh-huh. I just finished watching Dahmer on Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm getting into
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm
this
not gonna.
Week.
I mean, spoiler alert.
Okay, he eats people.
Yeah. No, episode 6 is like, I'm wearing a little bit of eye makeup, so I don't want to get emotional.
Sure,
it
sure.
It is so amazing.
Really?
So well written. It's the total Emmy for writing episode. But I was driving here and I was thinking, like, talk about a fucked up gay guy.
Yeah.
Like, the most horrifying, weird part about him is that he wants the, he gets upset when the one night stand wants to leave.
Right.
Like, what? What?
Yeah, get
I'm
out.
I'm like, get out.
Yeah, beat it.
God, yeah, so, this, I mean, that's sick.
I mean, it was the 90s. It was a different time.
That is sick.
They wanted intimacy. They wanted cuddling.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted the whole fantasy.
They wanted a monotonous relationship.
I know. I got to get into it. I've had a lot of people being like, it's so crazy. So
well, it, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And when you first start it, you're like, ugh. And then you just, if you stick with it, I mean, honey, there's 10 episodes.
Yeah. People have just barreled through.
Well, I've also said, this is the world of entertainment today. You have a 15-second TikTok or 8 episodes of a limited series, which is a story you could have told in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm,
so it's either way too short or way too long. But they have to get creative, you know, so they did, and it's really good. Anyway, that's all. That
no,
was
I know.
A lot
I,
for that
I have a confession
about.
To make. I was talking to my boyfriend. He was like,
is that the confession that you have a boyfriend?
I do have a boyfriend, yes. But
because you reek of it.
I
okay.
I can't help
you're
it.
You're not fooling anyone.
It's no. a natural glow. But he said, I go, yeah, let's watch the Dahmer series. And he said, Who is that? Didn't know who Jeffrey Dahmer was.
Okay, you know what?
Didn't know who
I
he was.
I kinda like that.
He had no clue. And I think it's because he grew up with a very very southern family. And I think as a kid, like, it was like, maybe they don't want their son to know about this crazy psycho killer cannibal.
Right. I mean, normally that type of thing, that type of ignorance, if you will, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. would annoy me. But there's something kind of, like, heartwarming.
Sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I remember just my parents just let me watch everything.
Yeah. Years ago, I did a song parody. I'm kind of famous for my song parodies. I did We Are Family as Manson Family. And literally, I was at Barracuda in, you know, New York, and I was watching this gay crowd, and I was like, they don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, the entire song was rewritten to be all about the Manson murders.
And they had no clue.
Sharon Tate and this and that. Not, they didn't know it.
God.
They may not even have known the original song. That's how stupid these homosexuals were. Anyway.
Know your history. But I think that was what was so amazing was that, you know, I've known you back years ago when you were in the band Dirty Sanchez.
Yes.
With Mario Diaz, and who's also on the show. And I remember you performing at Foo Bar. And then the last time I think I saw you before.
Wait a minute. Dirty Sanchez didn't perform at Foo Bar.
They didn't?
Oh, I thought you meant just me. Okay.
No, didn't y'all
maybe
perform?
I
think y'all did.
At Foo Bar?
Right?
Maybe.
Years ago.
Possibly.
I mean,
we played the Key Club.
Yeah, I remember like y'all performed.
Concert.
And I remember you. Yeah, and I remember you guys performing all over town.
Oh, okay.
And then I remember seeing you here and there around at clubs and stuff. And then I remember this is what's so
I'm
funny.
I'm just going to keep in the spirit of improv and yes and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep interrupting you and saying you're wrong.
Yeah, you're like, no. I'm like, I'm not crazy. I swear I saw you guys perform.
It's totally possible.
What I was going to say was the last time I saw you before lockdown, and I was actually just here this past weekend at this place called Chill Bar, and you were performing at Chill Bar in that back room. You were doing a show, and you were in your element. You were doing your thing. I can't even remember. And I just remember you looking over at me, and you were just like, I don't know. It was just like, here we are.
Where was this?
This was at Chill Bar in the back in Palm Springs.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
I was just in Palm Springs
this past weekend.
I remember
that because Muffy came with me.
Uh-huh.
And she had never really experienced anything other than just showing up, and I walk out and do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she actually came with me. And she saw me getting ready in the hotel room, and then we went there, and I'd never seen the room. And when we walked in, I was like, wait a minute, this is it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, and this is the lighting? Uh-huh. And she talks about it all the time. She's like, and you just had this calm wash over you, like...
Well...
She didn't know it at the time, but that calm was money's already spent. You know what I mean? So you got to do this show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can pull a show out
you,
of my ass.
You definitely can. And that is professionalism. It's entertainment. I mean, it's...
There's no place for dignity in show business.
There really isn't. And that's what these kids have to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Because you, I mean, you're very vocal on like...
Hating young people.
Yes.
No, what am I vocal on?
That.
Oh, okay.
Where you actually get on your Instagram, or you'll get on social media, and you let people know. You're like, hey, if you want to do this, this is what you have to.
Right.
This comes with the turf. You can't just be like, oh, I take pictures, pretty pictures, and.
Well, here's the problem.
Yes, go in.
You can just take pretty pictures.
You can now, yeah.
And you'll end up. First of all. You can watch makeup tutorials mm-hmm. on YouTube. You can Facetune those pictures.
Madonna, yeah.
Well, not just, I'm talking about Kim Chi, you know.
Yeah. Like, oh, really?
And everybody, yeah. I do yeah. it, whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, and they'll put you on Drag Race. And the whole point of Drag Race is the next drag superstar, even though there's been 72 of them now.
Yeah.
And, like, really? Is the next drag superstar going to be somebody who's never even stepped foot on stage? Drag is very similar to stand-up.
Absolutely.
Like, you can tell these queens that have done it five nights a week, you know, like, Sunday brunch. Like, they know how to deal with a heckler.
Yeah.
And
drunk woman from Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between a Bianca Del Rio, you know, and some of these ones that, like I said, have never even performed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for over 30 years. And when I started, I couldn't go on YouTube and watch a makeup tutorial because YouTube didn't exist, because the internet didn't exist, mm-hmm. because electricity didn't exist. So anyway, it's not bitterness. It's just, you know, it must be like, can you imagine Prince watching some of these people? You know what I mean? Like, okay, it reminds me of the meme, I'm all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cup of coffee. Okay, three. Well, caffeine is the responsible person's cocaine.
Yeah, it really is.
No, here's my point. They have that meme where Bohemian Rhapsody, the songwriting credit, is Freddie Mercury. That's it.
And that's it, yeah.
And then there's this Beyonce song, and I love Beyonce,
yeah.
but it's this weird, repetitive, like, it's not even that one of the great songs. There's 72 writers.
What, are you talking about Break My Soul, that one? The one that just
no,
came out?
No, not the new one. Oh, this is like this old meme.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm not bitter,
yeah.
but,
salty.
You know... It's like if you've had fresh-baked artisan French bread,
yeah.
and then somebody hands you, you know, a stale piece of Wonder Bread, you're going to look at them like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all if you're starving and the bar is low and you've never had anything, you grab that Wonder Bread and you gobble it up.
Sop it up with something. I mean, try. I don't know.
What? But tears?
Tears. Just tear-eyed
stale Wonder
bread
sopping up your tears. Now that's a Lana Del Rey song.
Oh, of course. So she just spins around. But I mean, that's the thing I think that is lacking, because I mean, yeah, you said you've been doing this for 30 years, and
can you believe?
You were in.
Look at me. Can you believe?
Did you start in New York?
No, I started here.
You started here, but you moved. You lived in New York, right? Mm-hmm. You and Mario worked at the Cock. I remember that.
Yeah, Mario opened the Cock.
That's so crazy. I only knew that recently.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing to me, which is one of the craziest.
And minds aren't the only thing that get blown at the Cock.
That was the first bar in New York City that I remember going to the first time I went to New York City. And they're like, all right, everyone, put your wallets in your front pockets. I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah. No, they don't mess around. You can lose your wallet and your self-respect in 5 minutes.
Just right at the door. Mm-hmm. Check your code and your ego. And then how did Wigstock come around? Like,
well, I mean, Bunny did Wigstock.
Yeah.
And,
which she's in, Lady Bunny's in Huluween Drag Extravaganza, which is a really long hashtag. It's a really long, like, oh.
It is.
Yeah, but
it
Bunny's is. In there.
She's, I don't like it when the hashtag can't make it onto one line.
Yeah, when the A's on the second line, you're like, come on.
Like, Huluween Drag Strav. Agenza? No. Agenza? I don't know what's going on. No, but yeah, Bunny did Wigstock, and in 1995, we Alexis Arquette and I flew out to New York, and we performed at Wigstock. Anyway, a friend of ours, Barry Shills, made a documentary called Wigstock the Movie, and he wanted to include a few L.A. queens and kind of make it, you know, so like both coasts would kind of be represented. Sure. And also, like, we were sort of the, like, outsiders, you know, like, oh, what's Wigstock? Tell us all about it. And all the New York queens hated us.
Really? Because y'all were from L.A.?
Yeah, just like, you're not even a part of this. Why are you in this fucking movie? I'm best friends with all of them now, but I mean, they were so mean. But I've done a lot of Wigstock.
Yeah.
Sherry Vine and I did Heart 1 year.
Oh, that's good.
And our friend was friends with them, and we got a box like a week before the Wigstock where we sang Magic Man by Heart, and there was two scarves, and it said, we hear you're doing us, you know, at Wigstock. Here's two scarves we wore on the Bebe Lestrange tour.
Oh, cool.
And I still have that.
From Nancy and
yeah, who's Sherry's Nancy. Nancy. Oh, Anne.
Nancy and Anne, yes.
Anne and Nancy Wilson.
Yeah, God, that's a good group. Yeah. That's
you know who Jeffrey Dahmer is?
I've heard of him. I've heard he's finger licking good, apparently. So going from Wigstock.
Not that old.
I mean, you've worked with some legendary comedians as well. Joan Rivers. I mean, you were a writer on Fashion Police. Like, from the beginning? Were you on it from the beginning?
Not from the beginning, no.
And what was that like for
you? I mean,
you?
She went through a lot of writers.
She did. I was one. I did, like, maybe two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who did one episode.
Oh, yeah. So,
well, here's the problem.
But I got the house. I got to go to the house,
yeah,
which was pretty cool.
I have that story.
Yeah, let's go.
My very first episode was the Grammys.
Uh-huh.
And when you do the Grammys or the Emmys or the Oscars, you actually go to E, that big, they have a big, you know, they have a whole floor.
Or they were on Wilshire back then.
Wilshire.
Yeah.
And so everybody goes there. You literally go there at like 4 p.m. to watch the red carpet and the pre-show, and you're there until 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
People cry.
Yeah.
People are in corners, like, rocking themselves. Like, and, you know, Joan, she wants like 10, 12 jokes per look, and then she doesn't like them, and she asks for more. So, but the first one, Tony Tripoli, who was the head writer, he was like, Joan doesn't want you to go to E. She wants you to come to her house. It was actually Melissa's house.
Melissa's house in
Palisades. And he was like, it's just going to be you, me, and her. So Whitney Houston died the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And the three of us, three of the sickest fucks you will ever meet in your life. I mean, seriously. Tony Tripoli, Joan Rivers, and Jackie Beat. We were sitting on the couch watching, and we just kept making the worst jokes.
Inappropriate, yes.
Oh, my God. Like, nothing can prepare you. And at one point, she reached over, and she like, kind of, the talons, and she just went into my, and she went, get it all out now, because we can't say any of this on television.
Do you remember what was said?
Oh, just, I mean, corpse fucking and, you know, just literally just the worst. Just terrible.
Oh, I remember.
The kind of jokes we all make when there's no one around.
When there's no social media or cameras on you. Exactly. Yeah. When
remember, that's when what comedy used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like what?
Oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine what pops up on your Facebook memories. Do you ever have those where it's like,
okay,
10 years ago you said this and I'm like, oh, my
you guys,
God.
I'm like, you guys. I did Rachel Dolezal once. And the song, Baby Come Back, I did as Bitch You Ain't Black. And I dressed like Rachel Dolezal. And if you just see the picture, it's blackface. And I'm like, somebody is going to show this out of context. And I'm going to be like, no, I was making fun of a crazy white bitch.
Yeah.
Who thought she was black. Yeah. And I was taking her to task and ripping her a new one. But no, all that matters is, you know.
God.
So back to Fashion Police.
Yes.
There were a lot of people
mm-hmm.
who lasted one episode. Because they think it's actually making jokes about the clothes.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
You're right.
Because you run out of that in 3 seconds. Plus, they've done 300 episodes. And so they make the mistake, the ultimate mistake is anything to do with a shower curtain, a bedspread, upholstery. No, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, were you talking about Jeffrey Dahmer? Or no,
no, we're talking about like Fashion Police jokes. You know what I mean?
Curtain?
No, I'm saying like anything like that looks like my aunt's shower curtain.
Oh, right. Like, okay,
first of all, that's a sentence.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
Yeah.
And there's a way to do it. Because I remember once somebody really was wearing something that was like this, you know, velvet brocade or whatever. And I think
it was Kim Kardashian at the Met Gala. There was something like that. She wore a couch looking
But I just
thing.
Remember somebody making this, and I said, here's how you do it. You go, there was an awkward moment right after this photo was snapped when the cast of Downton Abbey mistook her for a love seat and sat down. Something like that. Mm-hmm. That's not even hilarious.
Right, but smart.
But just not like, she looks like couch. You know what I mean?
If anybody ever told me I look like couch, I would walk into traffic.
You look like couch. I'm having t-shirts made. You look like couch. Yeah. And they're like, did you mean coach?
Or as the kids say today, it's giving couch.
Yes.
It's giving lazy boy.
I have a question. How many,
yes.
Are people also just listening without seeing me? Some people?
That's the mystery of it. This will come out next Monday on the Comedy Store's YouTube page. Thank you for plugging the video portion of this because you do look fucking spectacular.
I just, you know, listen, nothing's wrong with my lash. I just feel the need to bring my hand into frame because I am rocking nails.
Yeah, she's giving nails. She put on nails for this.
She put on nails and 6-inch heels.
Yeah.
You can't see them.
She's couch.
She is serving couch.
It is true though. I mean, my first gig, I was talking about this with Guy Branum, was the Met Gala. No pressure. It was like, here, you're getting the Met Gala. And I remember those nights of like staying up.
At least.
Whew, that was a night, a morning. And then it was like, oh, we're getting someone, make 10 jokes about this person. Oh, JK, they're not coming anymore. Now it's this person.
Oh, you're God,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Cold pizza.
Whew, that was a lot.
Cold pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what time of year it was, no air conditioning or heat.
Right.
Because it's the middle of the night
in
an office building. We would be in that conference room writing and the lights would go out and somebody would have to like, you know, because it was like motion
sensor. Yeah.
It's like, what, are we in the men's room?
Yep, exactly. You were. Mm-hmm. And I remember going over to that house and she had that circle table in the dining room and we all sat at the circle. It was very like King Arthur.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is Justin. I remember meeting her for the first time and she was like, oh, this is Justin. He's coming on as a writer for this episode. She's like, oh, I know Justin. I was like, I don't think she does. But I don't know. She could have.
I'm not trying to burst your bubble.
Please do.
I think
she had no idea.
That's her thing.
Okay.
Oh, I know so-and-so.
Yeah, I was like, she doesn't know me, but thank
you.
I mean,
that's pretty cute.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
I mean, really think about that.
And then I killed her. Justin. I killed her that. No, I'm just.
Yes.
But I remember right before she passed, though, I was in a.
Was this Right after you threatened her life?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All I had to do was pick her up. Like, she's right. The tiniest thing.
She really is.
The tiniest thing.
Eyes don't close.
No, just...
It's hard to sneak up on her because her eyes don't close.
Part hamster. Yeah. She was just the smallest thing. And I remember right before she passed, I was doing a test thing for E, and Tony Tripoli was walking with her down the hallway, and he was like, "Oh, Joan's here. Would you like to say hi?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And everybody who was testing with me that day was like, "Who the fuck is this guy getting to say hi to Joan?" And she remembered me. She's like, "How have you been? So good to see you. Yeah, I haven't seen you since you came over to Melissa's. Oh, you look fabulous." And I was just like, "This is it. That was it."
Oh, I love it.
That was it. She was just such a gem to work with. And
she really,
to
really
know,
was.
My God.
She really was. And, yeah, I was thinking a million things while you were talking.
Good.
Not listening. Just, and then now I can't remember.
One ear out the other.
No, you know, you gotta, I try to be a good interview and
you
just
are
keep
doing
things
great.
Moving.
Let's talk more about Halloween, okay? Because this is one of my favorite things.
Yes. I must say one thing, because this is a good segue.
Okay.
One of the things I was upset that didn't make it in was I was going to do a skeleton dressed like Joan Rivers.
Oh, in the drag extravaganza?
Yeah, I even wrote it.
Oh, you
it was,
did?
Like, her name was like Bone Livers.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And I was going to change it to Bone Shivers anyway. And she was like, "Oh, please. You know, look at Frankenstein. Like, you know, I haven't seen, you know," just like, so she's doing her, she's, yeah, and making fun of like, Dracula, closet case. Yeah. It was cute.
A coffin
but,
case.
You know, yeah, exactly. But the problem is, you know, Fashion Police hasn't been on the air in quite a while.
I know.
Joan Rivers isn't exactly in the zeitgeist.
I know.
But yeah, let's talk about it.
Yes, one of my favorite stories about, I mean, we'll talk more about the actual show, but one of my favorite things about you is you have a...
great sense of humor.
Great sense of
humor.
And a
dynamite set of legs and no gag reflex, Jackie.
Happy Halloween. Thanks for listening.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Make sure to subscribe. Carrie.
Yes.
You have a very, if you were on My Strange Addiction, which is a fabulous show.
Yes.
Yours would be Carrie. You have a full on Carrie themed room in your house.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is that weird?
It's not weird. I think
you know
it's
fantastic. Weird if you have a Carrie remake or Carrie to the Rage.
Oh, Carrie
room.
To the Rage room.
Like, you know, no, I have a room in my house. I'm saying like,
yes.
Yeah, no, I am obsessed with the movie Carrie.
Why
the
is that?
The, yes, original from 1976.
Uh-huh.
Well, my sister took me to see it,
mm-hmm.
and it totally blew my mind and changed my I want to do a podcast called Changed My Life.
Uh-huh.
Because there's always that song, that band, that movie. It literally
that moment, yeah.
changed my life for so many reasons. First of all, people need to understand, Carrie is and was groundbreaking because we now take it for granted that like high school girls are monsters. High school girls are more brutal than, you know, soldiers in Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, this was the first movie where these, like, you know, really cute girls were horrible.
Monsters, yeah.
And it was a relatively low-budget teen horror movie. Piper Laurie and Sissy Spacek were both nominated for Oscars. I mean, that's crazy.
Right. Was this before or after Coal Miner's Daughter? Was this?
This was before.
It was before.
76.
So she got nominated for
Coal
that
Miner's
as well.
Coal Miner's Daughter
was
80, I think.
So that was her first film too, right?
No.
No?
She was in a couple
stuff?
Of
okay.
like smaller things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. But
for a horror film to be nominated for best.
It's.
Yeah.
It literally at the time was unheard of.
Right.
And Pauline Kael called it the first pop horror movie. Like,
fair.
It really, you know, it's amazing. And, I mean, Brian De Palma is amazing. Everyone should look online. I think it's a Vimeo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called One Way or De Palma. And somebody edited the best moments, and there are tons, from a bunch of De Palma movies, and they put it to One Way or Another by Blondie. Mm-hmm. And it is so good.
I'll have to look at that.
I mean, it really reminds you. Like, he has done so much.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom of the Paradise, Untouchables, Scarface, like, and then the horror movies, you know, Dress to Kill, Carrie, Blowout. Like, mm-hmm. seriously, he's genius. And so anyway.
Yeah.
And the ultimate reason I think I love Carrie is because the message of the movie is don't mess with the freak.
Uh-huh. Very
true. You never know who you're fucking dealing with.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know, it dealt with bullying. And I mean, it was so like, that. I think that's what kind of like, how the hell did they even think of like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go slaughter a pig, put its blood in a bucket and throw it on this girl.
Well, that's in the book.
Yeah, I know. But like still like that. Just yeah. Like that's Stephen King thinking of that.
Stephen
like,
King's very first book
mm-hmm.
that he threw in the garbage mm-hmm. and his wife, Tabitha, pulled it out of the garbage. Not that I know everything.
You know
about
everything
Carrie.
About it. Like, is there a website or something? Didn't they do like a tour of your house or something? And there's something I want, like, I want the listeners to like Google Jackie Beats room.
Yeah. Well, first of all, in my first house in Highland Park, it was the office
mm-hmm.
and the walls were, you know, enamel, blood red. Like it was crazy. Now it's the guest room in my house in Altadena. And I didn't paint the walls red, but I still have all my stuff. And yeah, I joke that, you know, it's a great theme for a guest room because people won't stay very long, but all my friends are freaks and they're like, oh, I can live
the carry
here for,
room.
I love it.
What's the best piece you have in that room?
Well, my favorite is this, oh my God, I'm going to forget what ethnicity it is.
That's okay.
What is, it's not Indian, East Indian. What is that other? Oh my God, I'm such a white lady. What is that other? Oh my God.
Like Middle Eastern?
No, it literally, okay, forget it. I'm going to forget and then I'm going to remember at 3 a.m.
Yeah, you're going to wake up.
Like in the horror movie, yeah. Wake up screaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. it is, for lack of a better term, East Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have Sissy. It has Sissy Spacek, but she's being hugged by the gym teacher. So uh-huh. you can't even barely see her and you don't see her face. I think I just touched the mic.
That's okay.
Is this thing on? I'm getting no laughs. And anyway, it's the weirdest poster. It says Carrie Killer Girl.
Oh, that's the name in the translation.
Yeah, you could probably look it up right now.
Uh-huh.
You could look it up online, and it has a picture of, I'm 99.9% sure it's Mira Sorvino in like black bra and fishnet tights. And she's not in the movie.
Not at all.
And, you know, big thing of John Travolta and anyway. And then at the bottom, it says a bizarre tale of something.
Uh-huh.
But instead of bizarre, they put peas and it says bazap. A bazap tale of, you know, terror or something. I know this is all so stupid.
No, but
I can't believe I can't think of the
ethnicity. And it's a poster?
Ethnicity.
It's a movie poster?
Yes.
Oh my God. A bazap.
A bazap tale.
A bazap.
That sounds like
story. And then,
which is weird because there's the movie Zapped, which is, you've never heard of Zapped?
I have heard of Zapped. Hold on. The gears are turning. That's a B-horror film, right?
It's not even a horror film. It's like the comedy version. It's, of all people, Scott Baio
uh-huh.
can make, like, the girl's bra unhook itself and fly off. He's got telekinesis and he's horny.
That's the worst. They're lucky that yeah. Carrie wasn't horny. I mean, it's such a
honey,
great.
Carrie was horny.
She was horny.
That's why this all happened.
That's, yeah. Because he invited her to the prom and she thought she was going to get laid.
So some of my favorite Carrie things.
Go. Yes, please.
First of all, if you watch the DVD extras, there's two documentaries. One I think is called Writing Carrie or mm-hmm. Making Carrie. And the other one's called like Shooting Carrie. Anyway, they have Piper Laurie and she's like, when I first read the script, I didn't get it. I thought, I didn't get it. And my husband said, well, you know, this Brian De Palma often takes a comedic approach. So I read the script again and I realized, oh, it's a satire.
Oh.
And then in another, she thinks she got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And she thinks she's in a satire.
Yeah.
In a black comedy. And then in another interview, she's like, when people come up to me and say, I scared them in the movie Carrie, I just laugh. Oh, I just laugh because we had the best time making that movie. I was having fun. She's like, I didn't think I was being scary at all.
Oh, my God. She was terrifying.
And Brian De Palma's like, you know, God bless this woman for walking right up to the line and maybe putting her big toe just over the line because it is beyond brilliant. But, you know, you go over that line just a little more and it's mommy
camp.
Dearest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, we don't have to talk about Carrie.
No, I love. I mean, that's what I
have. You
love.
Kids seen Carrie?
Go see Carrie, the original. It still lives up. I mean, one of the images that's still burned into my head is near the end when they do that shot where they pan out and it's the mom and then they have the little Jesus with the white eyes.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Here's a story.
Oh God.
One of my biggest fans, I don't want to say I shouldn't say his name.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
No.
Oh.
Anyway, his name is Damon Devine.
Okay.
And he's this fabulous kid, and he worked at a Hollywood memorabilia store. And even back then, I mean, this was literally 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He knew I was obsessed. I would get stuff in the mail every day from him that he got. Like, he'd just send it to me. So I have a stack of original proof sheets. With like red wax, you know, circles around
like edits.
Certain ones,
yeah.
Like the ones that they sent out for publicity. Anyway, there's a whole proof sheet of her in the doorway for all intents and purposes, crucified.
Yeah,
by the kitchen implements.
The kitchen knives.
But in one scene, like, somebody's, like, you know, got a styrofoam cup of coffee, and in another one, she's, like, you know, they're, like, you know, she's having a sip of coffee, and then she's laughing. So she's in that pose with all these,
just
like, knives in her,
a blast.
And she's just having a good old time. Anyway, so that's one of my, that is probably, to be honest, one of my prized possessions, if you will.
As it should be.
Nothing from the movie. When I worked at American Rag back in the 90s.
Oh, yes. Wow.
I don't know how it happened, but I was checking out some girl, and somehow in the conversation, she was like, my mother did the costumes on Carrie, and I lost my shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, and this girl was like, what? And I was like, oh my God, that's my favorite movie of all time. Is there anything, a piece of fabric, a button, anything. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Anything. She's like, there's nothing. Everything was wet, you know, covered in, you know,
the caro syrup.
Yeah. So everything was destroyed and thrown away. Can you imagine that dress on a mannequin at the Smithsonian?
No. Oh. Just sticky.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway,
because Kim Kardashian would probably try to wear it to the next Met Gala.
Probably, yeah.
She's like, look, I'm wearing Carrie's
so
dress.
No memorabilia exists. And then Piper Laurie's personal effects went up on auction a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a religious needlepoint that you can see in, you know, very, you can't really see it that much in the movie. There was a couple of photos. Anyway, in the living room, the white, Carrie White's living room, and they had gifted her that,
uh-huh.
And she was selling it, and her Bible bag,
uh-huh.
When she goes door to door. The kids are wandering through the wilderness of sin.
Oh, it's so good.
And I bid on the needlepoint, and I didn't win.
Oh, God. I mean, she had some of the best lines, like,
oh my God.
They're all going to laugh at you. They're looking at your dirty pillows.
Yeah.
Dirty
they're all
going
to laugh at you.
They're called breasts, Mama. Every woman has them.
I can see your dirty pillows. Everyone will.
I could smell the whiskey on his breath, and I liked it.
Here's another story. That scene, which is like, I'll never forget the first time we did it. We slept in the same bed, but we never did it. He came home drunk, you know, smelling a Roadhouse whiskey. That whole scene. Brian De Palma was like, we're cutting the scene.
What?
Yeah. And she's like, please let us do it once. I learned it. I mean, I have it down. And he's like, we really need to move on. It's not going to make it in the movie. And she's like, please let me do it once.
Mm-hmm.
They did it once. And he was like, jaw on the floor. This is the whole. Without that, she's just this religious monster.
Weirdo,
she's just a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
This explains everything.
This is why she snapped.
This is why she thinks getting your period means that you did something wrong. This is why, Anyway, it's such an amazing movie, and I feel sorry for anyone listening or watching. No, if you haven't seen it,
this all means nothing
to you. You're like, this queen wasn't even on Drag Race, and I've never seen that movie, Carol.
This was her Carol. This was her moment. This is when you knew, like, this is my jam, huh?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Such a great story. And I love the horror. And I mean, that's we have a couple more minutes left and we'll get into some stories. But I want to give our listeners what they would expect from Halloween Drag Extravaganza. What did we come up with? It's a variety show. There's singing, there's music.
Yeah.
There's phenomenal drag queens in it.
I mean, there's some real looks.
Everybody some real looks.
Everybody works a look, and I think everybody sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, people really singing,
mm-hmm.
and the songs are great.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the trailer, you've seen the opening song, and I mean, everyone... It's all the so comments good. Are like, what an earworm. And it's like, really?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, it gets in your head for sure.
I think people are going to love it.
I think they will too. I think they will too. And it's just so awesome that it was the easiest, most fun job I had this summer where it was just like, all right, come up with some sketches. And you're like, okay.
Only job you had this summer. No.
When I got out of the bunker. But it was really fun.
And we shot it so quickly.
God, 4 days.
And it was relatively stress-free. I mean, as stress-free as people do not understand how stressful drag is.
Yeah.
Like every minute.
Tell us.
Every minute you're in drag is like a half an hour
mm-hmm.
out of drag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I won't go into it, but Sherry and I just flew to New York to film something.
Mm-hmm.
We woke up at 5:30 to paint our faces. They picked us up at 7:40, and we shot literally from then until 9:30 at night.
God!
And it was running around and this and that, and it's just and changing and like, you know. And then, I mean, my biggest fear is that in the mummy number I did with Bunny. I felt my eyelash literally like hanging down and falling off. I mean, the good news is I'm supposed to look decrepit, so I'm just going to say I did it on purpose. But it's just a bunch of landmines waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Even getting ready. You're getting ready and you cut yourself shaving. And have you ever cut yourself shaving and it will not stop bleeding?
No.
What?
I haven't done
that. So I'm shaving my shoulders.
I'm hairless.
No. Oh, no. Your face.
Oh, my face?
No, I'm saying. So I'm shaving my face, and you got to shave this way and then that way and da-da-da-da because you're doing drag.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I cut myself. It will not stop. And I have to do my makeup.
Uh-huh.
I have literally put, like, a piece of toilet paper and...
And done the makeup over
and
it.
And done the, like, spackle. Literally like a hole in the wall. You know, Robert De Niro punched a hole in my wall.
So
it's just a nightmare.
What was the name of Dorian Corey with the mummy in the wall?
God.
I mean, that is an iconic story.
Yeah.
We'll save for another day. Watch Paris is Burning. There's a dead man in the walls. And one of them's doing an interview.
He was in a trunk in her... closet.
Oh, that's why Ryan Murphy took that and put it in Coven, I think, or it was American Horror Story. It was an American Horror Story where someone was put in a trunk and they like put him in a wall. And that was the inspiration was Dorian Corey's dead corpse boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
I love it.
Listen, everybody has to watch Halloween Dragstravaganza.
It comes out on October 1st. Make sure to tag it. If you're watching, make sure to really enjoy, because I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for the kids. Listen, you know what's even more terrifying? And none of them are reading to your kids. So relax.
Yes.
You know, we don't promote literacy on the show.
Let me just say this about Halloween Dragstravaganza.
Yes, please.
I really feel like Marjorie Taylor Greene would hate it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the ultimate, like, seal of approval. You know what doesn't, you know...
They're coming for our streaming services.
The drag queen show on Hulu, starring a lot of the queens from Drag Race, mm-hmm. doesn't need as much promoting as my new comedy series on Out TV.
Yes, which is called Dr. Jackie.
Unlicensed Psychotherapist.
And what is that about?
It is exactly what the, you know, I sit down and I give therapy sessions to, you know, my funny, fabulous friends.
Good.
And a new episode comes out every Monday, and today is a Monday.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sure that this will be airing at another time. Anyway, it's on Out TV. If you're across the pond in the UK, it is on Fruit TV, and they spell it Fruoot.
I see what they did there.
To be weird. And the episode that comes out today has Alaska Thunderfuck, mm-hmm. Elvira, Drew Drogi and Sam Pancake,
perfect.
Roz Hernandez, Sherry Vine plays my personal assistant.
Good.
My secretary.
Yeah, and by the way, I said this like when we first started writing on the show, I was like, you get mentioned in Elvira's biography like multiple times.
Well, I've worked with her a lot.
I know.
I wrote her last, I've written on her, a couple of her Not Scary Farm shows.
Yeah.
And the last two I just wrote.
Yeah.
And I wrote myself in it.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should. We have time for a couple of these stories real quick.
We're going to take a couple calls.
Caller, hi, this is Brenda from Denver.
First time, long time.
I am Couch. let's get into some, these are some costume ideas for 2022. Now that the West Hollywood Carnival has been officially canceled.
Oh, it has?
Oh, yeah. Did you not know about that?
You know why that?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Do you know why?
Does it rhyme with donkey locks?
Does it?
And by the way, if you go to you go to a deli that serves donkey locks, run, don't walk.
Out of all the things, does it rhyme with donkey locks? What is? I don't even know what
monkey pox.
Oh,
I guess donkey isn't really the same as monkey.
I forgot about monkey pox.
I'll tell you why it was canceled. They can't make enough money off of it.
That's why it got canceled.
Because West Hollywood, I'm sorry to say this.
Go in.
West Hollywood is corrupt and really money oriented, and sorry, that's the truth.
Well, they just said it was just too stressful. It's very, it's a lot of work, God forbid.
How come other cities can handle it? How come San Francisco can have a gay pride festival? It was huge.
Huge.
It was amazing, and it's free.
Yeah, and it was a huge tourist attraction for 40 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know what? It's just a lot of work. And I'm like, what else is going on? We have a...
Guess what else is a lot of work? Doing my fucking face...
Thank you.
...in the middle of the day to come down to the ha-ha hut here. No, that's an actual place, isn't it?
Probably.
I think it is.
You've
anyway,
been there a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, who's a... What?
Yeah.
Now the gays are afraid of a little hard work?
Oh, God.
God, they won't eat for 2 days, mm-mm. you know?
I was like, how are we going to see all your slutty costumes? I guess we'll just stick to Instagram.
Boo. Okay, so we're talking about the pop
Here's
culture.
Some, yeah, let's John, let's pull up this... let's see what we got going. We've got... I mean, it's pretty mediocre. I mean, you got... Stranger Things.
This is really...
Barbie. This was someone's job. Like
the
to
Barbie
put this...
movie isn't even out yet,
no,
is
but
it?
But they're like, dress up like Barbie. We got Top Gun.
Oh, these are
who
horrible.
Is that? Euphoria, so girls can just dress up like they do anal and do heroin in between their toes. She-Hulk.
Okay. That... She-Hulk, at least that's a look.
That's just Cameron Michaels.
Aren't people going to do...
Taylor Swift? Come on.
This is sad. Who wrote this? And I'm telling you, if you read this, it's chock full of typos. And inaccuracies.
I'm sure.
You know who? I bet there'll be a bunch of queens, like Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, for sure.
And hopefully they'll do like full on, you know, zombie queen.
Oh, that would be good.
Oh, Austin Butler and Elvis.
Not Elvis.
Not
Presley.
Elvis. Don't
Austin
dress up like
Butler as Elvis.
Yeah.
Who else? How many more? What?
What?
Lola Tung in The Summer I Turned Pretty? This girl's just wearing something from Wet Seal. Pam and Tommy. Okay, that's a couple's costume. Some guy from Nope.
Oh, some guy from Nope. That's not some guy from Yope.
I didn't see Nope.
Oh, Yope. I said Yope.
Nope? Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm just saying.
Blake Lively at the Met Gala? No one's wearing that on Halloween.
Okay, this is sad that this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
People are not doing
Batman.
People aren't even being like
creative.
Campy enough to. That girl, the year I was, what?
That girl.
She's wearing a white, crop top with some daisies hot glued to it.
And I swear to God, if I go to a party or something and someone's like, oh my God, are you the girl from The Summer I Turned Pretty? That's it for me.
I don't even know what The Summer I Turned Pretty is.
And you never will, Jackie.
How dare you? How about The Winter I Became Hideous?
The Winter I Became Hideous.
That's who you have to dress up as.
Doctor Strange.
No, the queen.
Oh, yeah. I would love a good rotted queen. I think that would be fun.
Oh, my God. Total zombie queen.
That's the thing. I feel like people are just like, we have to take this so, like, literal. And we have to be like, okay, I can't do any. I went as Selena Gomez a couple years ago. But it was Selena the singer meets Gomez Adams. So I had the Gomez face, the Selena outfit, and people were like, gagged. They were like, oh my God. I'm like, this is what Halloween
is. I remember, yes. I mean, back in the day, this is really a long time ago. There was, if you can Google it, the artist Christo had this installation with these giant umbrellas, and they literally, like, there was a windstorm and people got killed by them.
By the umbrellas?
They became uprooted. So they had people on
impaled
walking around with like umbrellas, like, oh, they're looking it up. And, but I just saw this Millie Alcock. Is that her name?
Millie Alcock.
From the new Dragons show.
Bakersfield from House of the Dragon?
Yeah. See, they had all these and people literally died.
When
I mean,
was
that,
this?
That, this was pre-internet. Nobody had cell phones. So if people took pictures, they just showed them to friends. It didn't make it on like, oh my God, you're making fun of people who were killed.
Yeah.
My dad was killed by an umbrella. You know, well, don't, you know.
Cancel umbrellas.
When you're having kinky anal sex, don't open the umbrella.
I mean, that's rule number one. That's so crazy. I've never heard that story. So, yeah. So, I mean, guys, if you can do anything this Halloween season, step up your pussies,
listen,
please.
Dress up like me. It's scary. Look,
Miss Marvel.
Yeah, okay.
Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian at the Met Gala. Don't do them when they're not at the Met Gala. Jameela Jamil and She-Hulk. She just looks like a Renfair hooker. Leah Michelle and Funny Girl. No. Serena Williams.
Okay, wait a minute. Can we see Leah Michelle again in Funny? I mean, I'm sorry.
Mary Poppins.
If you dress like that, you're going to get red. That's a joke about many people think that Leah Michelle is possibly
illiterate
and can't read. Yeah. And as a drag queen, I just said that I'll read you. I like to explain jokes and I like to do it like in hushed tones.
Yeah, it's like a little like,
a subtext. League of Their Own cast.
Yeah, that hasn't been done before.
I mean, just wait.
Harry Styles at Coachella.
Oh my God.
Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria. I mean,
they're trying to make things iconic that are not.
Oh, this is a good one. Sophia Carson and Nicholas Galitzine in Purple Hearts. Yeah. Amanda Seyfried in The Dropout.
Oh, my God. It's a black blazer with a
red lip,
with a turtleneck.
Yeah. Moon Knight. I mean, Dove Cameron in her own music video.
God. Okay, literally fucking toddler wrote this.
Anna Delvey in Inventing Anna. Sadie Sink in Stranger Things.
Wait,
Wanda.
Go back to the... She's wearing a windbreaker and jeans.
Mm-hmm. It's
this
spooky,
is not
right?
a costume.
No. This is just half-assed. This is sad. We need to make Halloween great again.
Florence Pugh at Venice Film Festival.
I'm sorry. This is just some bitch going to brunch. She's going to a Jackie Beat show at a venue somewhere. Lizzo in a music video.
No one's ever done... Oh, in Hocus Pocus 2.
You can dress up as the Sanderson sisters.
I am... furious right now.
As you should be. I wanted to leave you angry and disgruntled, even more so.
I've reset back to my normal.
Yes. Okay. Well, this story, we'll end on this because John was like, we have to find some good spooky stories to kick off Halloween. And like right before I got here, this popped up from the New York Post, one of my favorite articles ever.
This is what I saw when I walked in.
This I haven't read it yet, but I wanted to share this with you. A woman was hospitalized for 3 days after a dog shit on her face while sleeping.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Woman, this is the actual headline. Woman hospitalized for 3 days after dog poos on her face while sleeping. Don't ever skip the opportunity to say poo or poos. That's so much better than shit.
I know. I just was like, this was like, how okay, do we say this? Okay. So, well, look, the first line says, shit happens. A British woman.
A British woman spent 3 days in the hospital after her daughter's dog defecated in her mouth as she slept. Amanda Gomo, 51, was taking an afternoon nap when pet Chihuahua Belle became ill and suffered sudden diarrhea. Will you play her?
Oh, yeah.
I was having my
She's British.
I was having my afternoon nap with Belle like I always do when I suddenly felt something squirt in my mouth.
Gomo told Southwest News Service.
It was disgusting, and I was hurling violently for hours after. I just couldn't get the taste out of my mouth.
Gomo's daughter took Belle to the vet where the pooch was diagnosed with a nasty stomach bug. Here's the truth. No way! There is a photo of the woman with Chihuahua diarrhea literally running down her chin and neck.
This is Halloween. If you're gonna have a Halloween costume this year, go as this bitch who had her.
I don't understand. Wouldn't you want to get that though? No. Like, Mom, let's clean you up. No, let's get a picture first. Hold on. How do I do a selfie?
Is there corn?
One of the most famous lines in Carrie is, Carrie, you eat shit. Yeah. So this woman really did.
She had painkillers for her stomach cramps, and the doctor instructed her to drink lots of water, of course. However, the symptoms worsened over the next 48 hours. The cramps went all over her body. They got worse and worse and worse. It got into her legs.
I was so dehydrated from being sick and having diarrhea that me kidneys had shriveled to half their size.
The doctors diagnosed her with a gastrointestinal infection that had been passed through Belle's feces into her mouth 2 days earlier.
I'll never understand this world. All of this is stupid, outrageous, beep, bop, boop, doodly-doo, but the picture of her with Chihuahua diarrhea running down her face. What the fuck? She's like, I hope this goes viral.
Literally, like my kidneys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very thankful for this woman. I mean, there's no filter. Hashtag no filter. Eyes. I mean, she put in her Lumify drops so she doesn't look sleepy and tired. She just full on. Yeah. Does this woman live alone?
And now it's going to become a TikTok. Do the Chihuahua shit.
Do the Chihuahua shit challenge. You guys. Fall asleep with your mouth open and see what happens when your dog defecates in your mouth.
Don't forget to snap a selfie.
God. Oh, well, Jackie, thank you
really
so
over?
Much. It is over. We've been here for a while, and I'm so glad you got to stop by. You had a very busy day. I just want to say thank you. Make sure to follow Jackie Beat on socials. Make sure to check out Halloween Drag Extravaganza October 1st, and make sure if you have out TV. What is it? Out.
Yes, Out TV.
Out TV. Make sure to watch Dr. Jackie on there every Monday night.
Yes.
Yes. And anything else you want to plug? I mean, the face only a chihuahua could love.
Oh, my God. No, I can't think of anything else I want to talk about.
That's dementia.
Uh-oh. But I will say this. I am in full drag mm-hmm. in the middle of the day.
Gorgeous.
And the light came on in my car, which means I'm going to have to stop for gas looking like this.
What happens when, I mean, you get looks, right? When,
yes, yeah. But I mean, listen, we live in a post-drag race world. Nobody really cares.
No one gives a shit.
And, you know.
That's world famous, I mean, drag superstar,
I mean,
Jackie B.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have chihuahuas like squirting, you know, fresh diarrhea into the mouths of women.
Oh, I'm ready for dinner. Thanks, Jackie. I'll see you later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Just Saying. We'll see you next time.
Bye.